blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 388, stanzas 1 through 5. To thee, O Lord, I humbly cry. To thee my supplication make, to thee I bring my sad complaint, to thee my bitter grief I take. 1 through 5 of Psalter 388. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews in the 13th chapter. Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, and the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, and that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of the earth, we may come together in this evening as a congregation, and thou knowest the purpose, the occasion for which we may be gathered together. It is a day which may be commemorated throughout our land. But Lord, thou knowest our own hearts and all that dwelleth therein, whether we have need of that sacrifice which we commemorate even in this day. Because we are creatures of form, of habit, of custom, but so far our religion goes when we are dead in trespasses and in sins, and we see no form, nor comeliness, no beauty that thou shouldest be desired in all thy suffering and in thy death, that thou hast given thyself even to the death of the cross, for the purpose of the putting away of iniquity. And yet we have no desire, feel no need in our hearts by nature. Lord, then how dead we are. Oh, then how polluted, how lying in the open field, polluted in our own blood, so that there is no hope from our side, except thou wilt begin, and except thou wilt say unto us, live. Except thou wilt speak the word only. Except thou wilt command that the stone be rolled away from the grave. And that those that stink already may be called forth. Lord, remember us. Oh, it is a day we may be together in this evening in thy house. Oh, it is thy means that thou hast given unto us and unto our children. Oh, Lord, we beseech thee, have mercy upon us. Our sin rises up against us, prevailing day by day. And there is not one of us that can promise thee that we shall be one whit better on the day of tomorrow than we have been on this day, because there is a fountain that lies within us, and every day it is bringing forth the corruption of our nature. Oh Lord, we cannot change it. Our heart is inclined to nothing but evil and sin. That it is thy own word thou dost testify when thou didst look down upon the children of men, that thou didst find none that did good. No, not one. And then every one of us are included. Oh, then there is nothing that can come from us that can be well-pleasing in thy sight. Lord, it is thy work to bring forth a people from the dead unto that new life, to build a church upon that one foundation, who we have heard in this evening is the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh, if it were not for that giving of himself, oh, then there could be no meaning of us to gather in this night.
then it would be for every one of us an eternal, eternal despair. And there would be no need for preaching, because we would all be destined to that awful pit and that awful cursing that shall take place to that never-ending eternity. Lord, it is because of Thee. It is because of Thy good pleasure. It is because Thou hast decreed it from that never-begun eternity. It is because Thou didst say, I have loved Thee with an everlasting love, that Thou didst make a covenant with Thine only begotten Son, and that He did fulfill it in His own soul and body, that He gave Himself so willingly. O Lord, therefore we may gather tonight, but now Thou art also arisen, Thou art ascended, Thou dost sit at the right hand of Thy Father. And we are together when we are of ourselves so wretched. Oh, send forth then in the application by Thy Spirit in this night. Oh, send forth the power thereof in the hearts of young and old, in the hearts of the unconverted, in the hearts of Thy own children, whatever their condition may be. Oh, bring in the dust by renewal or for the first time. And wilt Thou be pleased to reveal Thyself, Thy all-atoning work. Lord, we beseech it of Thee, from whom alone it can come. Oh, do it then for Thy name's sake. Remember all that may be afflicted, that may be sick. There are those that are not able to gather with us in this night. And wilt Thou give health and strength and the ability to come up again? And may Thou look upon widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that have special needs, those that have difficulties of the body. May Thou strengthen, help them, those that have difficulties of the mind. Oh, be Thou near to them also, and give relief in all cases where there is affliction. And Lord, remember us as a congregation. Oh, work amongst our families. Oh, work amongst our children. Oh, give love for one another. Give that brotherly love may continue. Oh, we don't have that either by nature. We are born as haters of God and haters of one another. Oh, plant Thy Spirit and Thy grace within us. And oh, that together we might learn to seek that one thing that is needful, that we may put away all the things that do hinder, and that we might run that race that is set before us. For many run in the natural races, and only one receiveth the crown. Oh, that we might also learn so to run for that spiritual crown. Wilt Thou be with those who may commemorate an anniversary in the week that is lying behind us? Lord, we have forgotten them. Oh, may Thou not forget them. May Thou be near to them in together as husband and wife. And may Thou uphold them also in all the needs of this life with their family together. Be Thou with this with us tonight. Lord, help us. Help us to bring Thy word. We are of yesterday and we do not know anything. We need that Thy Spirit may be poured upon us. and that we may receive in our heart thy Spirit in a double measure, and that we may be given clarity in our mind, and that all that the devil brings against us, O Lord, wilt thou keep him away tonight in speaking and in listening. O send him out of our midst, and wilt thou send him out of our hearts, and wilt thou give that thy Spirit may have dominion, and that it may be good to be here, because the Lord is feelingly and believingly in the midst of us. Oh, forgive all that is so sinful within and without. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 73, stanzas 2, 3, 5, and 6. O Lord, regard me when I cry. In mercy, hear me when I speak. And thou bidst me seek thy face. And I, O Lord, with willing heart reply, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Stanzas 2, 3, 5, and 7, and 6 of Psalter number 73.
Thank you.
Congregation, it is Good Friday. Do we also consider it to be good? And why is it that we might consider it to be a good day? You say it is a commemoration. It is a commemoration of that good fact. It is the commemoration of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has given himself for his church, that he has paid that price, and that he has bought that salvation with his own blood. And that is so true. For that reason, it is good. For that reason, today millions of people are rejoicing because it is Good Friday. The congregation, has it ever become for us good? Has it ever become good for us in a personal way? That death, that suffering, that giving himself of this Son of God. In the day of the death of the Lord Jesus, there were many people that rejoiced. Who were they, boys and girls? Do you know? Who rejoiced in the day that the Lord Jesus died? Oh, then there were Pharisees that rejoiced, the rulers of the people. There were Jewish people that rejoiced. We have heard they were all mocking. And now he is put to death. And so many people are rejoicing. But it was not the beginning of the eternal rejoicing. But it was a rejoicing that would soon be turned into sorrow. On the other hand, there were those on that day that did not rejoice at all. There were those in that day, in the death of Christ, that mourned and that wept. And yet later they will rejoice. Later their sorrow shall be changed into joy. And that will be a different joy. And that will be the joy that will end in the eternal rejoicing. Thus, congregation, which joy, which rejoicing would we be part and partaker of? But now, that rejoicing of those who sorrow, how was that rejoicing received? Well, that had to go through something. It had to go through the deep. It had to go through the pit before that they may rejoice. It was the same with Jacob, wasn't it, boys and girls? Jacob, what did he say? He rejoiced too. He rejoiced when? See him going in his chariot, the chariot of Joseph, and then you see him seeing his son, and they fall on each other's neck, and they are weeping for joy. What a joy. But what did it have to go through? Oh, then it had to go through a time that Jacob says, all these things are against me. Did not know of that joy that was to follow. Let us consider something of this in this evening, with the Lord's help, out of Hebrews 13, Hebrews 13, verses 11, 12, and 13. Hebrews 13, verses 11 through 13. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. So far the words of our text, and we see in them the place without the camp. First, the place of the burning of beasts. We see that in verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Thus, the place of the burning of beasts. Second, the place of the suffering of Christ, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Thus, our second thought, the place of the suffering of Christ. And lastly, the place of the going forth of the church. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. The place of the going forth of the church. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Paul speaks, congregation, about here an altar. What is that? An altar is a place where all of the sacrifices of the Lord were brought. There the sacrifices were slain. There they were offered unto the Lord. And it is not a surprising thing that Paul is speaking here about an altar. Why not? Because he is writing, well, this is to the Hebrews. So they are living in the land of Israel. They are living in the vicinity of Jerusalem. And what was the chief difficulty of the Hebrews that lived in the land of Israel, that believed in the Lord Jesus? Well, those Hebrews, they had to let go now of their ceremonial laws. That was not as difficult for those who were converted as heathen. No, for them, then they could understand very easily. They had to leave the ways of those heathen gods. Then there was a completely different truth. Then they could easily understand and see that old way was the false way, and that there was a new, that there was a living way. But now the Jewish people, the people of the Lord that have been the children of Abraham and have lived under the Old Testament dispensation, the giving of the law, we can understand that. That all of a sudden, all of their form in their religion comes to an end. How would that be for us when we had worshipped in our way for 50, for 60 years? And also had experienced something of the nearness of the Lord, of the blessing of the Lord. And all of a sudden, the whole form of our religion changes. And it is not necessary anymore to come with our sacrifices. And it is not necessary anymore that a man be circumcised. No, this was a very difficult thing. For those Christians who lived in the land of Israel. Not only so, but for this people, there was a great persecution because those Jews who did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we know how that the Pharisees and the scribes did come against the Lord Jesus and his disciples. And that was the same after the death of the Lord Jesus. So not only was it difficult for them to understand and accept, it was difficult also because what it brought upon them from those who were without. And what does Paul do? Paul gives encouragement to these Hebrew Christians. Then he says that they ought to remain steadfast, he says, in the faith. And he exhorts them to endure that persecution that would come upon them for the sake of the truth. And he shows them the very danger that there was in apostatizing, in falling away from the truth. And then he also gives to them instruction about the fulfillment of the shadows, the fulfillment of that Old Testament dispensation. And in the epistle to the Hebrews, then he begins to show to them the superiority of the Lord Jesus, the offering of the Lord Jesus, the priesthood of the Lord Jesus, the superiority of this spiritual priesthood over the Old Testament priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, the shadows. He says, we have an altar. That is, not that literal altar, not that altar of the Old Testament shadows, but he says, we have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Those who want to continue to serve the tabernacle, and then they have no right to eat of this spiritual altar. Thus he shows how that the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment. And when we will go on in that old way of worship, then we are denying that he is the fulfillment of all of those shadows. Thus he gives them reason to endure the fire. He gives them reason to endure the trials and the afflictions. And he says that is not a strange way for that true church of God. That is even prophesied, he says, in the Old Testament dispensation. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Thus he speaks about an offering. And then we need to explain a little bit what the offerings of the Old Testament were. There were five different kinds of offerings that the Lord has commanded in the Old Testament. That was the burnt offering, the meat offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. All of these offerings, these five different offerings, had a different purpose. But actually, we can divide these five offerings into two groups. One, we might call the sweet savor offerings. And then in the end, we have the trespass offering and the sin offering, which also make one group. Thus, all of these offerings, they are pointing to that coming of the Lord Jesus. But all of them are not speaking about the same thing about the Lord Jesus.
they are not all pointing to sin and the forgiveness of sin. So we have first the sweet savor offerings. And that is the first three. The burnt offering, the meat offering, and the peace offering. Thus, what is now the burnt offering? Well, a burnt offering that is speaking about consecration to the Lord, or complete dedication unto God. A burnt offering was an offering that was completely burnt. It's some called sometimes the whole burnt offering. So in that sense, it was different from the other offerings. And that burnt offering that was to be a sweet savor unto the Lord, that is an offering that is pointing to the Lord Jesus in His acceptableness unto His Father, that He has consecrated Himself, that He has completely given Himself in every aspect for the sake of that church. A whole burnt offering. And there the Lord Jesus is viewed as giving Himself unto His Father, as Him who is well-pleasing, as Him who is satisfying unto His Father. So that was impossible for His church, impossible for His people, and for this reason the Lord Jesus has given Himself, that whole burnt offering. That is the first of the sweet savor offerings. We have next what is called the meat offering. And the meat offering is actually very, very similar to the burnt offering, also a sweet savor offering, but it was not an animal. It was meal. It was corn and oil. And then there was only a part of this that was offered as a memorial unto the Lord. Most of this was was eaten by the priests, and it was brought in by the people when there was the harvest, and the first part of that harvest was brought in, and then they would acknowledge the Lord that He had given unto them the beginning of this harvest. And then there was a part of this that was taken out, and a part of this that was burnt before the Lord, as it was to dedicate, as it were, unto Him. Thus, a sweet savor unto the Lord. The burnt offering and then the meat offering. Then we have the third of the sweet savor offerings, that is the peace offering, the last of them. And that peace offering was in a very special way peculiar. This was the only offering that the priest and the offerer would sit together and partake of, that both of them would eat. Congregation, what a beautiful meaning is in that peace offering. What does that speak of, boys and girls? Where the offerer is eating with the priest, then they are together. And thus we see something of reconciliation. Reconciliation between God and His people. The priest is the representative of God. And then there is only one way that God and man can come to dwell together again. And that is through this offering, a peace offering unto God. That is only in and through that death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, a sweet savor unto the Lord. Is that not a wonder? A sweet savor unto the Lord. an offering that would bring his people back into communion with himself, that which the Lord is gladdened for. Thus we have the three sweet savor offerings, the burnt offering, the meat offering, and the peace offering. Then we have the other group, and these are the sin offering and the trespass offering. These were not sweet savor offerings. Thus, in the other offerings, the first three, man is coming before the Lord as a worshiper of the Lord. But now in these offerings, man is coming before the Lord in a different way. Man is coming before the Lord as a sinful, as a guilty person. And thus, when man is approaching unto God as a wretched, a sinful, guilty person, he is no sweet savor unto the Lord, because it is impossible that God should look upon sin. Thus, the other offerings, they were for acceptance. But these offerings are for something else. These offerings are for expiation. These offerings are for the payment of sin. That is, the trespass offering and the sin offering. And now there is also a distinction between these two offerings. Then there is first a trespass offering. What was that? Well, that was an offering when I had trespassed in some particular sin, some sinful act, some sinful deed against my neighbor, some theft, some false witness. Then there was an offering that was burnt for this sin upon the altar. What was that for? That was to seek forgiveness by the Lord. That is the one thing when we have sinned against our neighbor. That is the most important part. But we see with a trespass offering also something else. What is that? That is a token of reconciliation. That is, there had to be some kind of restitution that was made to my neighbor whom that I have offended. So some form of a payment, as it were, to him because what I have done. Thus, the trespass offering. But now, lastly, we have the sin offering, and the sin offering was not for one particular sin. No, but the sin offering was brought for sin in general. Thus, it was not about a particular deed. It was not about a particular act. But it was about the sinner himself. So that pointed to the complete corruption of that person. It is pointing to the fountain of guilt and of pollution that is lying within that heart of that sinner. Thus, not only had he committed sinful deeds, not only had he sinned, but he is in himself a wretched and undone sinful person. And now this is the only offering which was not burnt upon the altar. There was a little portion of it that was burnt on the altar. What was that? That was the fat of this beast. But then we read how that the skin and the flesh and the head and the legs and the inwards and the dung, They were all brought, we read, to a place outside of the camp, and there they were burned. That was an animal that had to be in itself perfect. There was to be no blemish in this sin offering, in this animal. And yet, this animal that had to be completely rejected and had to be brought outside of the camp, it was not even allowed to be burnt within the dwelling place of the children of Israel. And why not? Well, before that animal was brought outside of that camp, that the sin of that church was in a symbolic way laid upon this beast. And therefore that beast that was utterly rejected as being unclean, just like a leper. Where did the lepers have to go, boys and girls? Because they were unclean. They could not dwell with the children of Israel. No, they had to be put outside of that camp of the children of Israel. Just as one who had cursed, then he had to be brought outside of that camp. And outside of that camp, there he was to be stoned. Thus it shows something of how that sin of the children of Israel was completely given over, was completely laid upon this animal, identifying this animal with the pollution and the corruption of that deep fall of man. And that animal was so closely identified with the sin of that church that animal was looked upon as sin itself. And it had to be placed outside of that camp. Utterly abominable. And now our text that is speaking about this sacrifice. Thus we know of five sacrifices, but it is this last one, this sin offering, of which Paul is referring when he speaks here and says, for the body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Thus he is not talking about the burnt offering, the whole burnt offering, or the trespass offering, but he is talking about that sin offering. And now the apostle, he is making a correlation. Then he is clearly identifying the suffering of that beast, the offering of that beast, of that sin offering, with the Lord Jesus Christ as that Lamb of God. That is our second thought. The place without the camp as the place of the suffering of Christ. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. You understand, boys and girls, what was, there are two things said here. One is without the camp and one is without the gate. Why is that? Well, you know that the children of Israel, they lived for a long time in a camp. They lived for a long time in the tents. And what was for them in their ways of travels outside or without the camp, well, when they became an established people and when they were brought into the land of Canaan, then the same thing it meant for them to be without, we read here, the gate. So without the camp, without the gate, that is the same thing. And Paul here shows how that the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of this Old Testament sin offering by one thing. That is, by the place in which he suffered. Thus, he did not only give himself, he did not only wholly dedicate himself for the purpose of the salvation of his church as a picture of that whole burnt offering, to give himself in every aspect that would be pleasing to his Father. But Paul says he was actually made sin for his church, who, he says, knew no sin. Oh, we have heard that. How that in his trial he was over and over declared to be guiltless. We have heard that how undefiled that the Lord Jesus is. That he is that lamb that was without blemish. And thus he was the antitype of that lamb which had to be without spot and without blemish. And yet he was taken outside of that gate without the camp, that there he may suffer. Thus, there was a reason that the Lord Jesus could not die by the mob. There was a reason why the Lord Jesus could not be thrown over the cliff by the Nazarenes. When that mob would kill him within that city of Jerusalem, then the Lord Jesus would never have been the antitype of that sin offering. But the Lord Jesus was to be made a curse. The Lord Jesus was to be cast completely out of that city. He had to suffer without the gate, as one who was filthy, as one who was polluted, as one who was not acceptable. And in this way, he was completely identified with what? With sin itself. He took it upon himself. Oh, who can fathom what the holiness of the Lord Jesus is? As that divine, as that perfect Son of God. And yet to be viewed, even by all men, as the chiefest of the sinners. As one who was not even worthy to come within the gate of that city. That one who had to be completely cast out by them, unclean. And it would have been one thing had that only been by the Jewish people. But it was also by God himself, hanging without the gate between heaven and the earth, rejected as it were by men, also forsaken of his own Father, just as if none at all would have him. For all his pollution, for all his guilt, completely cast out. Thus it was according to the law of God himself that he had to go outside of that gate, outside of that camp. my God, why hast thou forsaken me? No sweet savor unto his father, because he was seen as sin itself, and wherefore so polluted. Paul says that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, that he may cleanse them, that he may wash them, that he may make them holy, that he may make them clean. What a blessed mystery. He, so holy and seen, viewed as so polluted, and they so filthy, so wretched and abominable, and then seen and viewed as holy and without spot. Oh, therefore accepted in the sight of his Father through that suffering of the Son of God that was for peace, that was for, it was for reconciliation. But congregation, that is now the objective truth. That is the objective truth. But that also needs to be known by us in a subjective manner. And that is really remarkable when you look at the Old Testament sacrifices. You read in the Word of God of the numbers of these offerings that were given, that sin offering is always mentioned first. First, that sin offering. Or is that any different in the life of that true church of God? Because, congregation, there are steps. There are steps in the experience of the true church of God. There are steps in the knowledge even of that mediator. There are steps in the knowledge of that Savior. It is possible to know him as that whole burnt offering, to give himself. It is possible to come to know him also as that peace offering, to make reconciliation between God and my soul, so that there is nothing in between anymore. But now, in the experience of that church, what is for the most part coming first? All that is, that they might see him as that sin offering, that he may be revealed to them as him who has taken upon himself the sin of his people, that sin bearer. But when we will see him as such, then something else needs to be seen first. And what is that? We hope to consider that after we sing from Psalter 47. 47, 1, 3, 1, 3, 8, and 9. My God, I cry to thee. O, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from me thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. 1, 3, 8, and 9 of Psalter number 47.
Paul, congregation, lastly gives the application of all that has gone before concerning those beasts that have been burned without the camp and concerning that place where the Lord Jesus has suffered. And then he gives the application. He says, "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Thus he says, it is not enough. It is not enough that those beasts have been burned without the camp. It is not enough that the Lord Jesus must be burned without that camp. But he says, you and I also must go to that place. That place without that camp. Because we can never see that sin bearer if we don't go outside of that gate. Because that is the place where he has suffered. There he was estimated as a sinner before God and men. Congregation, did you ever see yourself as such? May we also have come in our life to this place. Because if we have never come there, then there is no place for him to be for us a substitute. And there is no suitability of that sin bearer in our eyes.
Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Oh, it is not going to be as we Christians that are going to view the Lord Jesus as the sin bearer of his church. No, we Christians remain within the city. We remain worthy ones. We remain people of the Lord. We remain religious people. We remain good churchgoers. We remain Pharisees. And their congregation, we will never see him. It is not going to be in the upholding of ourselves. It is not going to be in the maintaining of ourselves before God and men. No, Good Friday. Good Friday happened without the gate. And there alone is Good Friday experienced by the true church of God. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, thus not insiders, but outsiders. Oh, have we ever been made one? Without the camp is that place of a people who are not worthy to come in the camp. That is the place of a people who are not worthy of being counted among the true children of God, among the true children of Abraham. That is the people who are not worthy to come into that holy city, into that holy city. They are castaways. And that so rightly and so justly in the sight of an all-knowing God, without the camp, like the Canaanitish woman who was worthy to be a dog, without the camp, just like a Mephibosheth who was a descendant of the enemy of the king, that was his blood, that was Mephibosheth. Congregation, the hypocrite becomes the child of God. But that true church of God, they become ungodly ones. They become unworthy ones. They become the chiefest of the sinners. That is not according to our flesh. We would never come in such a place. But it is the Lord. It is the Lord who becomes too strong for every single one of his own true church. Oh, blessed people. Why? When they may come there. Oh, when they may come there without the gate, that is the place that they may see him who suffered without the gate. Congregation, there two may meet who are so suitable for each other. So suitable. That is not the Lord Jesus Christ and the rich young ruler. He did not meet him outside of that gate. But there outside of that gate, it was a thief. Oh, those were two that were so suitable for one another. That was a man who so righteously, and who may say that before God and men, so righteously, we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. So just am I placed outside of that camp. I am not worthy to come inside of that city. Rightly condemned, and that forever and forever. That is the place that that man may see him who also suffered without the gate, and that so unrighteously. Then he could see him. The Lord revealed himself to him there. He showed to him that he was that man of sorrows, that he was despised and he was rejected of men. The Lord showed to that thief there that he was that sin offering that was suffering there without the gate, that he was wounded for our transgressions, that he was bruised for our iniquities. Oh, what a blessed view that that man may receive in that place. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp. Congregation, that is the only place where you and I can experience in our own life Good Friday. May we ever know that in our life. Or you say, I cannot come there. And when you say that, you say the absolute truth. Oh, I cannot bring myself there. No, that is absolutely so true. There is no man. The devil himself, he says skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. Oh, no, we cannot bring ourselves to that place outside of that gate. And yet, there were people in the land of Israel that came there. Why did they come there? How did they come there? Oh, the lepers came there because they desired to go there? No. Not because they desired to go there, but the lepers, they were thrust out. The cursers, the malefactors, they came there. When? After they were sentenced by the judge. Then they were cast out. And that is now the way that the Lord is still bringing his true church without that gate. It is when he is becoming too strong for his people that he brings them out as condemnable, as hell-worthy sinners. If we are more than this congregation, we are not yet without that gate. But he brings that people out. He brings them out covering their upper lip. He brings them out crying, unclean, unclean. He brings them out as those who have transgressed. Oh, but if they had only transgressed in the deed, oh, then they did not go outside with that sacrifice outside of the gate. No, when we have only done this wrong, and we have only done that wrong, and we still can gather it together, and we can still reform our life, no, then we are not yet come outside of that gate. But without the camp came the sin offering. For what? For that hopeless, the hopeless, hopeless, hopeless fountain of iniquity. Is that what there is? Is that now what lies in your own heart? It is our nature. Not that I have sinned, but that I am a sinner before God. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp.
What is the expectation of those who are brought outside of the camp? That is that they will perish. That they will perish forever. And congregation, what a wonder for those who are brought to that place when in their expectation they have to perish forever. Oh, do you not see it? There's the place a wonder happens. There's the place that a man goes from hell unto heaven. Oh, there's the place that he may see him who gave himself as a sin offering. And there's the place where that people may begin to rejoice who have sorrowed. The place where they have lain with the Mephibosheth, expecting to die and to receive that word from the king that said, "Fear not, because you will eat with me forever at my table." O congregation, a wonder, a wonder. That is a people who will glorify God based on one foundation, a rock to a never, never ending eternity. People of the Lord, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. The Lord Jesus said that the disciple is not above his master, and the servant is not above his Lord, but they shall be as their master, as their Lord. And now he was despised. And he was rejected of men. And do you expect to be above this? No, he says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. It is a reproach that is to be borne by the true church of God in this world. It is the reproach of Christ. Bore a reproach for his people. And what is that reproach? That is not the honor of the world. That is not to be accepted, to be accepted of the men of this world. That is attractive to what? That is attractive to our flesh. It's not the way it was for Israel. And they were in the land of Egypt, and they came under bondage, and they were hated, and the world would destroy them. A reproach. Not only the reproach of the world, but look in the time of the Lord Jesus. No, look in the time of the whole church in the Bible. And there is the outward church, and then there is the remnant. And that remnant, that true church of God that is even despised within that outward manifestation of God's church. Jeremiah was despised by his own people. David would be slain by his father-in-law. He would be slain by his own son. The Lord Jesus was despised by the Pharisees, by the scribes, by the rulers within the church of God. And these will despise that little flock. Who will they despise? They will despise those who are of little faith, because the rest have much faith. And so the reproach of Christ, the reproach of Christ must be borne by all those who are truly poor in spirit. They will be mocked. They will be mocked like a hen was mocked. What is your religion? It is all nothing. You have no true fruit because you cannot exercise faith. And they will be cast by them outside of that camp, by the devil, by all the nominal professing Christendom. But it's not a bad place to be. It's not a bad place to be, because there they may see him who was also despised and rejected. And there they may see that it is for such a wretched creature, an undeserving creature, and that deserves to be cast out forever and forever. Congregation, we cannot tell you. We cannot tell you of a greater wonder to experience in your life. All that is the wish of our heart, that every single one of us may know this for the first time in our life, but also by renewal. Oh, could we only flee all the carnal things in this world, all that we might seek that one blessed, blessed portion of that people who can live and who can die. Amen. Lord, we cannot give it to each other. We cannot give it to ourselves, because we will never go outside that gate. But Lord, become too strong for us. Draw us, Lord. Work through despite all our rebellion against it. Bring us to that place where we are so deserving in ourselves to be cast away. Show us, Lord, him who has given himself to come to such a place. Show us that wonder. Remember us, bring us safely home. Forgive all our many sins in speaking and in listening. And bless, Lord, one word to each and every one of us. Could it please thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 398, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones, bowed down with grief, are helped by his most gracious hand. The eyes of all upon thee wait. By thee their wants are all supplied. Thy open hand is bountiful, and every soul is satisfied. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 398. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.